You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 462 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, coming to you live on this fine Tuesday evening into Wednesday morning. It is late into the night here on the heels of another loss for the Atlanta Hawks, their third consecutive defeat by a final score of 136-114. Yes, 136 points allowed. It's not going to get it done most nights in the NBA. And while there was a lot that went into that number, Cleveland kind of did whatever they want offensively in this game, and that kind of was the biggest swing. I will say that turnovers were the biggest factor, in my opinion, in leading the Cavs to this kind of offensive output. Atlanta's defense wasn't, you know, as ghastly as it looks on paper in this spot. You know, they for just for instance, as we start off the podcast here, 23 turnovers for 28 points for Cleveland. That's basically the difference in the game. Obviously, I think the Cavs were just a better team in a lot of ways in this spot, but it probably shouldn't have been just this lopsided. And honestly, this game was north of 30 for a lot of the fourth quarter. And, you know, the 22-point final margin was probably indicative of the final score and all that fun stuff. But for the most part, it was a game that plagued Atlanta with turnovers, and the defense just couldn't hold up against a Cavs team that was definitely due for a victory, but still kind of put it all together for the first time this season and got a win in this spot. So, as we normally would, we'll go through sort of the particulars from this game, sort of, you know, start to finish, and then from there the individual stuff as we break down the contest. Early on, another bad start for the Hawks in the first few minutes of this game. The Cavs opened up with an 8-2 run that became a 17-7 opening run. Some good energy early on from the Cavs, and they were kind of flying around, definitely more inspired than they had been in the recent past with their new head coach and Larry Drew, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, I thought it was interesting to see Jeremy Lin was the first sub for Atlanta after less than 5 minutes in this game. We'll talk about Trae Young, who was very good in this spot, but he was actually the first one to come off the floor for Atlanta, and a bit of a change to the rotation there, even if it wasn't a massive one. The Hawks did chip away a little bit on the lead in the first quarter, but the Cavs got it to up to 11 at one point in the first quarter. There was a 10-1 run by the Hawks after they got down by 11 to kind of get back within striking distance. Defensively, things were pretty ugly in the first quarter with a 137 defensive rating, but Atlanta did make 5 threes in the first quarter offensively by 5 different players, and for the most part, that was kind of the theme all night long, was that the offense was pretty good in this game. It just wasn't good enough to overcome the defense. And by the end of the game, the turnovers were so massive, but that really wasn't a huge factor in the first quarter. It was more second quarter and beyond in terms of the turnovers, and that kind of, we'll talk about that more as we go on here. The Hawks did put together an 18-6 run across the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter to actually take the lead in this spot. It was capped by a Trae Young 3, give the Hawks the lead by 1 point. They did lead partially in the second quarter a couple of different times and some back and forth, but for the most part, it was basically the Hawks weren't able to get a full-fledged advantage in this game. It was basically all small leads a couple of times, and for the most part, it was all Cavs. The end of the second quarter was sort of microcosm in way that it led into the third quarter, and that the Cavs scored the final 5 points after the Hawks were leading by 4 late in the second quarter. The Cavs scored the final 5 to take 1 point lead into the halftime break. That was probably the best defensive quarter, you know, definitely by the numbers and just in general. The offense was not great in the second quarter, but the Hawks did hold them down to 23 points in the second quarter. The third quarter, though, as it was on Monday, sort of in back-to-back fashion, the third quarter kind of let the Hawks down in both games on this mini road trip. The Cavs scored 41 points in the third quarter, and while Atlanta's offense was actually pretty good in the third, they lost by a 41-30 margin in that third quarter, a 16-3 run to open things up for the Cavs to give them a 14-point lead. In the middle of that run, Torian Prince came down awkwardly on his leg. He seems to be fine during the game. He stayed in and didn't seem to be favoring it too much, but during that run, that sort of went into a timeout, and after that, he came back in and committed two ghastly turnovers in a row, led to 4 straight points, and that was kind of the glancing blow, in my opinion, for the Hawks getting down by 14 in the middle of that run. The Hawks did get some strong play from Trae Young in that third quarter. He scored 11 points in the first 7 minutes of the third quarter as he was trying to keep them and within striking distance. It was basically just the Trae Young show. At that point in time, is the only reason why the Hawks were even competitive for much of that third quarter was Trae Young's performance. because the offense was the rest of the offense was fueling the Cavs offense, and the fact that they were turning the ball over repeatedly. They had 7 turnovers in the third quarter, and despite the fact that the Hawks shot 53% from the floor in the third quarter, it just wasn't enough. The Cavs led by 18 when all was said and done at one point in that third quarter, and the turnovers were just kind of ugly throughout that, and they were kind of, you know, directly responsible for fueling that run. The fourth quarter, the Hawks never really got back within striking distance. Honestly, it was double figures the entire way, and as I mentioned before, it got up north of 30 at times in the third in the fourth quarter. There was some garbage time. You know, the guys who hadn't played for the Hawks before that got in for the final 3 or 4 minutes of this contest, but for the most part, the run never came. There were some signs that the Hawks had a chance. Honestly, at the end of the third quarter, when they got it back to 12, there was at least a puncher's chance there, but it was quickly back to like 19-20 in the first couple minutes of the fourth quarter. And that was kind of the end of that. There was a nice flurry of passes and dunks from Trae Young to Alex Len. You know, Alex Len, we'll talk about him later, but he was perfect in this game. He actually had 6 dunks, and a lot of those came from Trae Young on the pass. And there were some nice offensive moments in this game, just too much carelessness overall. And that's kind of the theme in which the Hawks were operating from in this spot. Before we get to the individual stuff, there is you know, sort of the big picture here. The Cavs scored at a rate of 128.7 offensive rating. That's off the charts good. Some of that was just shot making from the Cavs. They shot 13 of 25 from 3, including 4 of 4 from Rodney Hood and 2 of 2 from George Hill and 3 of 5 from Chetty Osman, 2 of 2 from Sandin Decker. So in the starting 5 for the Cavs, they knocked down 11 of their 13 threes and only missed 2 of the attempts. So 11 of 13 from 3 from the starting 5 for the Cavs. That's pretty outrageous. Some of that, again, was just bad defense. Some of that was also the turnovers fueling easy shots for the Cavs, but not great sort of execution throughout this game. Rodney Hood had the best game of his Cavs career, in my opinion, probably. You know, 26 points for Rodney Hood. Also, you know, Tristan Thompson was good for the Cavs. Chetty Osman had 20 points. Just a lot of free looks, honestly, defensively in this game. There was not too much in the way of responsibility. You know, Lloyd Pierce after the game talked to the media, and that was broadcast live on Fox Sports Southeast, and he said there wasn't too much positive takeaway. I would kind of agree with that, honestly. Even Colin Sexton, who struggled mightily in the first matchup between these two teams, had a nice game here with 17 points, 8 rebounds against Trae Young. He, you know, defensively, there were some issues there for the Cavs, and honestly, the Cavs are still pretty bad defensively. But in this game, the Hawks did them a lot of favors with their turnovers, and that led to the Cavs performing pretty darn well. At the end of the day, the offense was still okay on a per-possession basis. A 108 offensive rating is pretty darn solid, but the turnovers were just too much to overcome. The Hawks did shoot 54% from the floor, I should say, and 15 of 35 from 3, a 43% clip there. They had 25 assists as well, so nothing terribly out of the ordinary and pretty solid except for the turnovers, and that is the biggest theme of this particular game. Before we get into the individual stuff, I do want to take a moment to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I know it's been a busy week of shows. It's also a 4-game week for the Hawks, so plenty of content on the way in this space. But if you have not listened to the podcast before, please know that we welcome you to the podcast. And if you have not listened and want to subscribe, I definitely would encourage you to do that on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or TuneIn Radio or Spotify, wherever you like to listen to audio and podcasts. We should be there. If we're not there, please let me know that, and I will do my best to rectify that. Also, the entire Locked On Podcast Network is worth checking out. If you are a fan of the Braves or another baseball team, or if you're a fan of the Falcons or another football team, I'm actually planning to be a guest on the Falcons podcast, the Locked On Falcons podcast with Aaron Freeman at some point in the near future. So if you want to check me out on that, please go ahead and do that. But the entire network is definitely worth checking out, as well as we have a show for a lot of different colleges at this point, Kentucky and Michigan and Tennessee and Georgia and all those spots. If you like a particular university and want to follow that podcast as well, that should be available for most schools at this point in time. So please check all that out and subscribe to the show. Do all that fun stuff. I really appreciate all the support. And also, please leave 5-star feedback if you like the podcast. I really appreciate that. That definitely helps us to expand our audience. And we will definitely be sort of producing content throughout the season. And I hope you guys appreciate all of that as it comes down the pike. So with that said, we can get into the individual stuff in this game. We'll start with the bench. Not a lot going on. I was looking at the numbers before this game started, and honestly, the bench has been pretty productive and pretty good on a permanent basis this season as a whole. That didn't really extend to this game, but honestly, if you look at the plus minuses in this game, all of the negativity and all the big runs happened against the starters. So this is another game where the bench probably wasn't great, but the numbers don't really bear that out. Honestly, Jeremy Lin had the best game of his Hawks career. We'll start with him. 12 points. 8 assists for Lin in 24 minutes. He ran a lot more pick and roll than he has been in the recent past. Had the ball in his hands a lot. They played the Lin Young lineup a lot in that fourth quarter, especially. I thought Lim was just okay. It wasn't like he was fantastic. You know, he was still not terribly efficient with 11 shot attempts and 12 points, but there were at least some nice moments from him, and the passing was good. He had a couple of nice looks too for easy buckets for the Hawks. Did have two turnovers, but in general, I thought Lim looked a little bit better. Still does not look terribly crisp athletically, but a little bit more steady in this game and not quite as costly when the Hawks were playing him on the floor, which is nice to see from Jeremy Lin. Also, Kevin Huerter had a nice game. A lot of his production came late when the game was kind of out of hand. But still 13 points for Huerter on 6 shot attempts. He's 5-6 from the floor, 3-4 from 3, and in general played pretty well. Both Tyler Dorsey and Jalen Adams got in the game for the final 3 minutes. Dorsey made a 3. Adams missed his only 3-point attempt, so not too much to talk about with those guys, but they're still firmly out of the rotation. I'm a little bit surprised that Adams is still in Atlanta, honestly, considering the G League clock is running and all that fun stuff in the future, but we'll see. Obviously, the Hawks kind of having that insurance policy isn't the worst thing in the world, but Adams and Dorsey are still firmly out of rotation at this point in time. Also, Miles Plumlee did not play in the garbage time, but actually randomly played 1 minute early on in this game. I was starting to get flashbacks from the previous game where he was kind of inexplicably playing against the Sixers. He came in just for a very, very brief moment against the Cavs, and that was kind of the end of that. So nothing to terribly worry about there with Plumlee, but I want to at least note that he did enter the game at one point in the first half. Dwayne Dedmon didn't play all that much in this game, had 4 fouls, which probably contributed to that in a big way, but 4 points, 4 rebounds. He was not as good or as noteworthy as he was in the last couple of games before this, but still was playing relatively well. Just foul trouble kind of plagued him there. Had 2 block shots, good energy when he came on the floor for the first time especially, and I thought Dedmon was still a pretty good player for the most part in the spot. DeAndre Bembry had a pretty under-the-radar game, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 fouls. I thought Bembry was actually okay. Had a nice 3, had a very, very nice drive and finish with his right hand, sort of a reverse scoop shot that I thought was pretty when it happened. Bembry was just okay defensively by his standards. There were some lost moments, and I thought he wasn't as good as he had been in the recent past defensively, but I thought Bembry was fine in general. And last but not least on the bench, Amari Spellman, 20 minutes, 3 points, 4 rebounds, and a steal and 2 turnovers for Spellman. He's minus 14. That was the worst mark on the bench in this game. I didn't think he was particularly effective in a lot of different times. It wasn't like he was awful either, though, but defensively there were times where he was exploited. The turnovers were not great. But in general, the defense across the board in this game was not good, so I'm not going to blame Spellman for that. He was just kind of out there for the most part. I didn't think he was as bad as the numbers might indicate in some ways, but I thought he was not terribly helpful either. In the starting lineup, Kent Bazemore had his most underwhelming game in a while. He was minus 32, which is the worst plus-minus on the team. That's probably not fully indicative of the way that he played, but only 7 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Did have 5 turnovers. He led the team in those, which is really ugly for a guy who you need to be steady in your offense. And Bazemore had 5 fouls as well. 3 very from the floor, 0-4 from 3. He didn't play well. There's no question about that. I think it's probably a little bit overstated in the minus 32 just how bad he was. I didn't think Bazemore was that bad in this game, but he definitely was not good, to say the least, in the spot. Torian Prince, same thing, was not good in this game. 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Had 4 turnovers, and he actually fouled out in 26 minutes. He was 3 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 5 from the free throw line. Sorry, 1 of 5 from the 3-point line, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Prince was bad again here. This is the second straight game where he was really, really bad. A lot of bad turnovers. I mentioned the 2 that were probably the worst after the minor injury that he suffered in this game. But in general, I thought Prince was really lackadaisical defensively as well. I thought he was the worst player, maybe not the worst player, but the most harmful player, considering how much he played, how much of the ball he had in his hands, all that fun stuff. His usage rates have been very high this year. He played well early on in the season offensively. He's making a lot of shots, but the last couple of games, really struggling at the moment. I'm not really worried about Torian Prince, but at the same time, his defense is not where it needs to be, and just in general, I think he's a little bit out of sorts offensively right now, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds on Thursday back at home against the Kings after a day off, because both of these games on the road, he was very, very bad in both games, so we'll see how he responds to that. Vince Carter, a couple of nice moments in the first half offensively, had a nice dribble drive, a couple of big threes, but still, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Defensively, he's still sort of a liability most nights, but he was the one starter that didn't get killed in the plus-minus, and I thought the Hawks were actually pretty solid with him on the floor. He was at least in the right spot for the most part, but still defensively not great, but Vince was just fine in the spot. The two guys who I thought played objectively well in the starting five were Trae Young and Alex Len. Alex Len, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He was 9 of 9 from the floor and 1 of 1 from 3. A pretty flawless performance. Had 6 dunks. I will say early on, I was actually a little bit disappointed in Len's energy level defensively and the way that he was not really flying around. But once he got into the flow of things offensively, that probably helped his defense a little bit as well. And I thought, he didn't do that. He didn't do all that much to create all those opportunities offensively. But he did what he was asked to do, which was catch the ball and dunk the ball and kind of play off Trae Young and be a lob threat and all that stuff. That's probably what he's best at right now offensively, and he was able to do that with effectiveness here. I think it's definitely overstated just how good he was based on the numbers. 22 points, 9 rebounds makes it seem like he was dominant, and I'm not sure he was, but Len did play well in this game, especially when compared to the recent past. And finally, Trae Young, 24 points, 4 assists. He was very efficient offensively, 9 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3, 3 of 5 from the free throw line, and only 3 turnovers, which is a pretty solid performance from Young across the board. He was minus 29, which is kind of funny considering I thought he did play well defensively. He had some ugly moments as he is wont to do in the early going of his career, but offensively he was very efficient. You can't really ask for much more than that from Trae offensively, and the turnovers. 3 is just fine for him. You can't afford 4 from Prince and 5 from Bazemore given their usage, but having 3 from Young is just fine, and I thought he played well offensively. Had some really nice moments, and as I mentioned before, the third quarter, he was really the only reason why the Hawks were still within puncher's distance of a comeback late in the third and early in the fourth, was because of how good Trae was in that third quarter with 11 points, and his efficiency was quite nice. So on the whole here, no crime in losing this game. The Hawks were 4.5-point underdogs against the Cavs, and the Cavs were definitely inspired. They were kind of due for a good performance after starting out 0-6. With that said, losing by this much to a bad Cavs team is not a great look. The Hawks did not play well in this game by any stretch of the imagination, especially defensively and with the turnovers. So that's not a great situation. And now they're coming home against the Kings on Thursday. The Kings, on paper, look to be a team that the Hawks could beat potentially this season, especially at home on Thursday. But the Kings actually are going to enter this game with 4 straight wins. They're playing arguably their best basketball in about 2.5 years. So we'll see how they look on the road on Thursday against the Hawks. But that's no longer a spot that you would just circle and say this is a great spot for the Hawks. The Kings are playing better than the Hawks are right now, and we'll see how the Hawks handle that. But that's a winnable spot for Atlanta. They play well, and we'll see how they look. But for now, they are 2-5. That's 3 straight losses for the Hawks after 2 straight wins. So probably kind of what you expect in the first 7 games. I know the schedule has been very soft. I talked about that quite a bit. They lost the one game that they had to a playoff team to the Sixers on Monday. The other 6 games, the Hawks go 2-4 against non-playoff teams. That's not great in the early going, especially when they have a schedule that's going to be improving in terms of difficulty in the future. But also the addition of John Collins will definitely help when and if he comes back as well. So for now, as you take stock, this is a bad loss for the Hawks. But the loss itself wasn't bad. It was just the way that it happened. Losing by this much is not great. But if you're looking on the bright side, maybe the Cavs will kind of catch fire here. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form. But people were asking me during the game, does this mean the Cavs are back and they can maybe send the pick to the Hawks? I would say no to that. But still, the Hawks didn't play well, and they were punished for that by an inspired Cavs performance in this spot. So with that said, that'll do it for this podcast today. We will not have another show until after the game on Thursday evening. We will do that, and then we'll kind of do the Saturday night into Sunday morning show again this week. So my apologies on sort of taking the one day off in the middle here, but the Hawks play Tuesday night, they play Thursday night, so we'll have, within 48 hours, I have another podcast live from Phillips Arena. Sorry, State Farm Arena. I'm going to do that throughout the season, so go ahead and prepare for that right now. I'm used to saying Phillips Arena, but from State Farm Arena on Thursday night and in the aftermath of Hawks games will be the next show. Please subscribe to the podcast. I really would appreciate it if you do. Go ahead and do that. And thank you for all the feedback, positive or negative. Please keep it coming. You can follow me on Twitter at BT Roland. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Hawks. And whatever you like to talk about, I'll definitely engage. If you're respectful, I always enjoy a good conversation about the Hawks and really just the NBA in general. So please go ahead and fire that at me if you have questions or comments about the podcast. So thanks for listening. As always, everybody, and we'll see you guys in a couple of days.